to the Grace Hour Show. It's another time with us here, coming to you live from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. This is our podcast that we have daily to talk about things. And we want to help you learn about your faith and how to put it into practice, how to exercise it in a very, very, very interesting world. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's for sure.
thank you. My name is Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me is Philippe Siragi here. And we're going to talk about vision. And in particular, we're talking about where do we get a vision for our lives? How do we draw a vision for our lives? Maybe we're trying to avoid certain words because we have some things to talk about today. And we'd like you to comment. You can do that on your chat windows there. If you're watching on Facebook Live or on YouTube, you can punch a question or comment in there and we'll make reference to it as we go through the program today. But vision, all week we're talking about this, and it is like sort of a, it's a word that means different things in different contexts, you know, certainly an enterprise, any kind of business releases a vision for its profit margin, and then they're with the goal of getting investors and that kind of thing. But we're talking about something deeper and something heart-centered, Christ-centered, and we'll let Philippe talk a little bit, and then I'll talk a little bit, and before you know it, 45 minutes will go by, and we'll say so long.
Yeah, yeah, usually it goes super fast.
It goes pretty quick, doesn't it? Yeah.
So, so what are we saying? I think the word vision, as you and I were talking earlier, the word vision is a good word, but it's also maybe sometimes a misused word, right? So if we go back to the Old Testament, what do we have? Visions and dreams. It's the way it's used in the Old Testament. It's why prophets had that capacity. And we see that in Deuteronomy 18, where God says, you know, that he will use some of their brothers to speak to them through visions and dreams. And then we take that into our daily life today. And then if we don't define the word properly, we may underuse it or overuse it in the wrong sense. I think we know in the Bible, and that's our stance, you know, in our church, like we don't believe that the same ministry of prophetic ministry is needed today since the revelation of scriptures is over. So like we say in English, if you tell me, I think I have the good words, but forthtelling and foretelling.
Yeah,
foretelling is preaching the word and foretelling
putting
is
the word out there, putting it out there for people to
versus
receive.
Foretelling, which is I'm telling you the future, and the idea is that was the ministry of the prophet. Though when you think about this, for it's interesting in the Old Testament, if you take the 17 prophetic books, there's no much of foretelling going on. There's a lot of foretelling going on.
Yes,
and most of the prophets are actually not prophetic in that sense at all. They're prophetic in the New Testament way. They're preaching the word for God. They are not telling what's going to happen in the future. That's pretty rare, actually, when you look at all the post-exilic prophets. They're not saying anything about the future. They're just reminding people of the word of God. So sometimes we take the word vision and we equate it with the concept of the Old Testament. Like, I have this vision, and we may be tempted to use the word as a magic word, a buzzword for us to be able to do things without really having the humility and the without seeking God, you know, in that way. So we have to, like, we have, because the theme today is where do we get our vision from? If I say I heard from God, it's almost putting a stamp on things that I have to be very careful about, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big statement. That's a loaded statement. I got this from God, or God showed me this. It is a loaded statement. Yeah. Now, you're right. Old Testament, we had prophets who really did see things from God, and they were spoken to and given messages. Jeremiah is, you know, is the most wordy of all the prophets. There's more words from him than any other, really, I think, than any other. I think his word count is close to what Paul wrote in the New Testament. So we know that Jeremiah got a lot of fellowship with God, and he had messages in a troubled time. So when we talk about vision and we're living in times that are sort of turbulent, we have to recognize, like, we're not talking about, we're talking about words that would help people mm-hmm. and tell people the truth.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about a vision for our lives, I think we're talking mainly about gaining a sense of truth for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You see that? I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, completely. I think, as I said, I think sometimes we take the word vision, and I'm sure, I mean, you've been a pastor a long time, and in a way, so I'm sure you encounter many people who's, mm-hmm. who's going to say, you know, they do something because they have a vision, or they come to you. It happened to me sometimes, and I have to admit, I usually use sarcasm as an answer. People come to me and says, well, I heard this from God. What do you think? And they say, what do you want me to do? Like, go after, against
you
God?
Can't, you know, answer, you that question.
Can't answer that question, really. Because if you use those buzzwords, I have a vision from God. This is what I'm going to be doing. What do you think? Well, I really can't compete with God, you know, in that way.
Exactly.
That would be my sarcasm. Like, you want me to say something against God's will? I wouldn't dare to do that. Yeah. You know, so, well, no, I would like to have your opinion. So don't come with a big word, you know. Nothing is the same with vision. I think it's fine to use. It's a beautiful word to use. But if I say I have a vision that we would win souls in my life, okay, I see what you're saying, and I agree with in that sense. You know, having a vision, not in the sense of literal vision that the prophets had, but I have an idea. You know, but we don't use the word idea because it's not strong enough.
Yeah,
I know. It's so interesting.
You could have a new idea.
Yeah,
like when you take an idea or a concept and put it under that word for vision, you are sort of like establishing a commitment to make something happen.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we all like goals. I'm a goal-oriented person. I have to-do lists. I'm a very routine person in some areas of my life. I want to do this with my exercise. I want to do this with my Bible reading. So that's a goal.
Yeah.
When you're talking about vision, I think it's maybe less tangible. I don't make a list of it. Some mm-hmm. people make mission statements, visions. This is our vision. They put it on the wall. Mm-hmm. And like we said, we were talking about those verses in Habakkuk about make the vision plain and run with it, that kind of thing. You know, you could take those kinds of verses from the Bible and sort of turn them into slogans.
Yeah.
And slogans lack power.
Yes.
But if you are allowing the Spirit to guide you into all truth, which Jesus said he was sent to do, then you have a vision that's from heaven. You have a vision that's from above. You have something you have something more powerful and less changeable and less subjective, maybe.
Yes.
You know, there's more objectivity to it. And I'm not saying that, you know, and I think that we're trying to be careful about what we're saying because, you know, people can get very discouraged and depressed because they really don't have like a pattern for living. They don't, you know, they don't have like a, you know, they're a sluggard, you know, maybe that's a Bible word and that we don't use so much, but they're like, they have a hard time getting moving. And Proverbs 6 gives us an answer to that. Mm-hmm. Like if you are a sluggard, God has given you an object lesson. That's the ant. And maybe you see the ant as like in futility, he's carrying actually, I think the female ants are the ones that go and get the food and bring it back to the male ants are sort of like more soldier guardians of the queen of the colony or whatever is going on. But, you know, the proverb says, you know, if you are having trouble moving, go to the ant. And I think that's like what we're trying to say. You could mm-hmm. have like high vision, mm-hmm. haughty vision. Nebuchadnezzar had a haughty vision. He created a golden statue because he actually got a word from God that Daniel gave him that he was the golden head. And he said, oh, I'm the golden head. So I'm going to make this statue that's a golden head, and this statue should be honored and bowed down to. And we saw what that did.
Yeah.
You know, but go to the ant. It's like more, it's closer to the earth, one, and we're looking at something really tiny, and it's carrying a crumb. And is that crumb worthwhile? And, you know, what kind of vision do you have? Don't dismiss these. Mm. The day of small things should not be despised, right?
Yeah, it's great because I think there's a lot what you're saying that needs to be expanded, you know, like the idea of subjective versus objective, you know, like how much of me is in the vision, how much of God is in the vision. Mm. That's a big one. You know, as we were talking earlier, we're thinking how much of the metrics of the world are bringing into our ministries as a way to measure success, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like we're talking in numbers, attendance, you know, my church is big, I have so many people. And it's funny how, you know, like when you meet someone, you're going to know two things very fast, their name and what they do for a living. Like it defines who we are. Mm. In the same way, we look at the church, oh, I go to this church, you know, it's a fairly sized church, you know, and then why do I need to know that? You know, I'd rather see, oh, in our church, we believe that God is worshipped, we reach the lost, and we're, you know, we train our saints. This is what we do. Like, yeah, this is more interesting to us than how many people go to your church. But we have these worldly metrics on defining success, and I think having a wrong understanding of what the vision is would be one way. Like the late in the 20th century until maybe a few years ago, like those growing church movements have been the main focus of church leadership. You know, we go to seminars. You know, we do seeker friendly, we do this, we do that, what do you do? And everything we do in the church is how much we can bring more people to the church.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember, I have read this, Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote something about that. He said, I'm not going to quote verbatim because I don't remember exactly, but what he meant was, we don't preach to draw people to church, we preach to prevent people to go to hell. And that's the vision, I think, is a biblical vision. I'm not trying to have more people. Mm-hmm. That would be subjective. I'm going to want, you know, but how much of God is in my vision? You know, I think it's a big one, you know, in that
way. It is a big one. Yeah. How much of God? You know, that I think there's a Hebrew letter, one of it's Ayin. It's one of those letters, and it's the letter of the open eye. Your eye is opened. So what are you looking towards? Mm-hmm. What are you seeking? You know, like you said, putting it very well, like how much of God is in our vision? How much have we set ourselves? Like Jesus said in Luke chapter 11 about this whole thing, if your eye be single, then your you will be full of light. Mm-hmm. If your eye be single, where are you fixing your sights? Where are you setting your sights? Mm-hmm. Now, let's think about like an Old Testament prophet like Isaiah. Now, there was a man that Isaiah saw as very important to the Hebrew Israel, Judah in particular, the kingdom's success. And this was a king named Uzziah. Now, we read about him in I think it's, is it Second Chronicles? I think it's Second Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Might be Second Chronicles. They talk about, there's an expansive explanation about how he invented engines of war, he invented agricultural systems, everything that seems to be like, you know, a pattern for good government today. Mm-hmm. It's like Uzziah did it.
Yeah.
But he lost sight of God, and he lost sight of his vision. He had a vision for, he had all these visions and inventions, ideas to make Israel a safe and secure and well supplied place. You know, it was a golden era, like almost like maybe second to only the Solomon era under this king. And then he did something, you know, that was out of order. He went into the temple and grabbed a censer for incense, and he wasn't to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he got leprosy. So he spent the rest of his days apart from the sanctuary of God, living in an exile house. And when he died, it still broke Isaiah. And then Isaiah got a vision of the throne of God at that point. Mm-hmm. So we could talk about those kind of visions,
yes,
the big visions,
yes,
of who God is.
Yeah.
Like we've gone from the bottom to the top now.
Yes.
I talked about the ant, and now I'm introducing Isaiah seeing the Lord high and lifted up with his train filling the temple, everything in between, right?
Yeah. I think if
help me.
No, that's true, because I think if we have God, like this song we were mentioning earlier, like, you know, in our conversation, Be Thou My Vision. It's not a verse in the Bible. It's based on a poem, I think, by an Irish poet, if I recall.
I think it's St. Patrick, actually.
It's possible, yeah. And then so I think it's okay, because if I do, like, another way of saying is if I see God for who he is, not like in a vision in a weird way, but in the Bible, really, and I meet God and I have a relationship with him, how does that affect my daily life? It mm-hmm. obviously makes a huge difference. So I think when we look at things horizontally, and again, we use the word metrics. We use our metrics and we try to evaluate our life and we're going to have a vision and we're going to do this. And there's nothing wrong with this. I, you know, like our ministry in a way, our church started this way. Pastor Schaller, Pastor Stevens used to say, we're going to be in all the world. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a vision, but if we're going to be in all the world. Why? Because we want our names, you know, we're on a flag in on every country in the world. No, because we want Christ to be known because we know who he is. Mm-hmm. So the vision comes from God being revealed in the Bible, and that gives, like, if I understand who God is, I understand a lot more things, you know, in the Bible, like, you know, like the promises of God, I will believe them as long as I know who God is.
Yeah.
So I think understanding, like, my vision really depends on the vision that I have of him in that way. So sometimes we lose the focus of who God is in the picture. And then we get in the way. It's so interesting. Like, I think it's you know, even the edit of works. It's so interesting. I'm thinking about this because we talk about this with the young adult ministry. I'm doing a series on the grace of God and works and, wow. and finished work. You know, and we're talking about this, and it's interesting. Like, sometimes when we see grace, we see works as the opposite. No, for me, works are a mean of grace in that sense. Mm-hmm. God using us. He doesn't have to. Actually, he would be way more efficient if he did everything himself. But he decides to use us. And then we take what he gives us and we think it's our own. I think God wants us in Ephesians 2:10 to enter into the works he has prepared for us. And my vision is to see him in my life, not to get things done. And I also, it's another thing in the sense that we bring it from the word. Like I think we confuse busyness with spirituality. And that comes from the wrong understanding of a vision. I gotta get stuff done. I gotta get busy with things. Well, I see, of course, we redeem the time. I get that concept, of course. But how much of what I do is from God and it stems from the vision of him that I see versus how much of what I do stem from the metrics that I set up in place to make sure that my vision, quote unquote, is being set up. And I think these two things in one way have to be understood in leadership. Either I hear from God and I obey, or I do things and I evaluate my success based on my own metrics. Mm. And we call both things can be called a vision, but one is a biblical one. One is the man-made vision.
That's true.
Right?
Wow. Yeah, I think I like what you're going back to that point you made. Grace has a way of working itself out of us.
Yes.
And I think this... You know we can quote another verse, which is whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We know mm-hmm. that, and that's, you know, that could be something that you see, you know, what should be my vision? It is like whatever your hand finds to do mm-hmm. is yes. like a vision for your life, working it out. It's like, I was reading something, who was it? Oh, I think it was, It's from the 40s. I was listening to something about this, about there's a writer named Dorothy Sayers, and she talks about why we work. And there's an interesting thing that happened during World War II, which is a disastrous period in human history, obviously. Mm-hmm. But something really happened in Britain as a result of World War, you came out of the 20s, the jazz age, into the Great Depression. You had a lot of people who weren't able to do anything. They were wondering why they were living. Everything was wrapped up in how they worked. And then mm-hmm. they were called into the military mm-hmm. To fight like an evil empire. Mm-hmm. The Nazi empire was an evil empire. And I just read a story this week about this island, that this piece of Britain that the Nazis actually occupied, and they had like sort of a concentration camp there. I didn't really know about Never that, but I read before. About it.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting that this little island was occupied, a piece of Britain, for during this thing. But it said that a lot of the men and the women who participated in this were at that the mental health and the they were not living for themselves anymore. They're not working for just a paycheck or a status. They were working for something bigger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, like a vision has to come down from above. Every mm-hmm. good and perfect thing comes down from above. Yes. Who said that? That was Bailey. Was that Pastor Bailey talking on Sunday night
yes.
about this from James? So where your vision comes from, if you know, we can't give you a vision. That's not what we're here for today, mm-hmm. is to tell you like a formula how to do it. If you do this A, B, C, and D, mm-hmm. then you're going to have your vision. Surprise, it's going to be there. There's lots of formulas that are out there for a lot of things, but we don't have a formula for it. We're asking you to get in contact with God. And how do you best get yes. in contact with God? Well, you get in contact with God through the Word of God.
Yes.
And so your relationship to the Word of God is really going to is what's going to fuel
yes.
a way to see life and a way to you know, and that's what vision is all about. How do you see life? How
yes.
do you see life? And you know, you may have a vision and not know it, right? Could
yeah.
someone have a vision and not know it?
Yes. I think it's interesting because I think it's one thing we did say as we were preparing today is, if, I'm sure you've seen the same thing. Like I had to deal with a lot of young people. Not deal, it's I'm ministering with
You're
a lot of young
interacting
people.
Interacting with
yeah,
young people, connecting
yeah.
with them,
yeah.
investing in them. There's a lot of words for your
yes.
job here as the
Thank you.
As the young
so
adults.
I am interacting
minister.
With a lot of young adults and young people. Mm-hmm. And then one thing that I find is crippling from them is they're always looking, okay, but I don't know what God's will is for my life. And I get that. It's another way of asking what's the vision that I need to have. And in a way, I think, so before I go there, I remember I was in Bible college with Pastor Michel Texier, who knows who he is. He's pastoring our church in Paris, France. And he was 1 year ahead of me, and then he graduated. He started going to Paris, playing a church. And then he came back for a summer session we had in the South at some point, and somebody asked him, you know, can you define what discernment is? Mm-hmm. And I actually never thought about that. So I was listening to reason because I love his ministry in the Word and thinking, well, he's going to come up with a good definition. He says, well, it's rather simple. He said, the more you know the Word, the more you're capable of discerning. I'm thinking, what's the connection?
Wow.
I thought for me, like discerning is almost like having a crystal ball.
It's almost like intuition.
Yeah.
It's like it's come to, you know, people.
Yeah.
I think if you look in a thesaurus,
yeah.
intuition would be something, but it's really, they're far apart.
Yes. And his point was, well, you know, I know things are good and things are bad based on what on the revelation in the Bible. If by the, you know, so for example, like we have a sense of things. We see something, oh, that's not good. Because it's actually, when you stop for a moment, I didn't see it in a vision, I saw it in the Bible. So, and since then it stayed with me. Like how much of, like we're trying to know God and we get it wrong if we don't try to know him in the Bible. We're trying to define our life, find God's will, find a vision for our life, and we don't look where we can find. And it takes me back to one thing that I've heard from Pastor Stevens years ago. I didn't say it to me, he said to people, but I was there and I heard it. It's like, it's not, you know, when you don't know what to do, you do what you know. And that's connected with the idea of the right way of vision for me, also connected with the right way of discerning. I don't have to... Of course, sometimes we need to pray and fast and seek God's face. Of course, we want to be in his will. Sometimes God has a geographical will, as Pastor Stevens used to say. We get that. But sometimes
yeah.
we get so crippled that we don't have all the vision details that we don't know, we don't do what we know. And I think our young people sometimes get crippled because they are looking for something that is almost unattainable because this is not what we're talking about. When you know what God's will is, what do you mean you know? Well, the Bible tells you. In what way? Well, you can pray, you can seek his face, you can reach the lost. There's many things. You can love your neighbor. There's many things you know that you have to
yeah.
do. And these could be very simple. Our vision gets so complicated. I'm going to reach the world. Well, yeah, talk to your neighbor first. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a vision, you know, in that way. So I think sometimes, and we go back to the thing, where do we get our vision? From the Word. That's what you were saying earlier. From the Word. Get it from the Word.
Yeah, the right? Bible, I think... We're missing a great thing that the Bible can do for us mentally and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's like if we take the Word of God and we see its instructions and we see them as, let's see, what are they? They are love. They are sent in love to, you know, to keep us, what is the right word? There's a word for it, but it's not coming to me right now. The instructions of the Bible, the words of truth that we read there, could free up a lot of energy if we took these things and said, well, God said this. You know, God said this is the way I should be, mm-hmm. and I don't have to make that decision anymore. Like, I'm not looking for I have one God. I have the God of heaven who came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and who fills me with his Holy Spirit. And I'm not looking for another God. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, you know, if you have a, you know, the variety of gods that I've heard are at work in Eastern religions, then I don't know how you ever survive, because, you know, you have to figure out which God you're actually trying to access. Mm-hmm. But when you understand you have one God and that he has spoken to you in this way, you know, the focus and the concentration that you can devote by understanding, like, I have one wife, me and you have one wife. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for anyone else. We've made that decision for our lives. We took vows before a crowd of people, mm-hmm. and before the Holy Spirit and a minister. We have a license. I don't know if you have license in France, or is there a document in France to say that you are husband and wife?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a document there. I have a document. We are. So there's documentation. There's a legal. There's like a spiritual element to it. And, you know, I wake up every morning. I look over there. She is. That's the woman. That's mm-hmm. my woman. It's mm-hmm. like, and so I don't have to really make that decision anymore. Yeah. And we fail to see like how that releases the energy to do other things that are creative.
Yes.
And so part of vision is also concentration. Is like, I don't divert like my energy into this way. Mm-hmm. My energies are all single.
Yes.
Jesus says single eye. It's like, mm-hmm. that's the way. It's like the narrow path leads unto life, and it's a big life that it leads unto. And people hear that narrow word and they think Christians are very narrow, but actually we have a focused vision that, about what life is. So we are free. We have a liberty that other people don't have. And they would say that, wow, look at all the experiences you could have. Yeah, but what kind of experiences? What detriments do they bring to my life? How could they take away my concentration? Like the winner of the, the Indianapolis 500, he's driving like 120, 130 miles an hour for 500 miles. Mm-hmm. And how much vision does he have to keep to make sure he crosses the finish line mm-hmm. in the right way? It's like, he's got to follow all kinds of things to get there, you know, like, and people celebrate that. And like, so he's devoted himself to that tiny little car that he's in for these hours. And we would say, and everyone like, we devote ourselves to like this set of rules and life decisions that make us effective, mm-hmm. and we're running a race, and we have that, right?
Yes,
maybe I said a lot of things.
I mean, running the race is another way of saying having a vision.
Yeah.
In a way, when you think about this, you know.
Because you're setting yourself on a finish line there.
Yeah, and is it complicated? It's not. You know, is it, you know, and I think it's that's one thing that is, to use the word cripple again, I think that's one thing that can cripple us as Christians. Is we tend to complicate things.
Yeah.
We always do. You know, and that means that but Christian life is really simple. You know, even what I do in ministry is for me to know him. Like, I remember this conversation. So in Paris, in the Bible college that I used to be the director of, we had a leadership institute in this, and that institute trained future leaders after they graduate. So we had a 4-year graduate, and then we had another 4-year program for those who wanted to be ordained as pastors. And we trained people from Greater Grace and from other churches, like maybe like having them maybe 15 or 20, candidates every year. And then, you know, they go for a 4-year program. And we're talking, and then we're discussing how do we make, you know, how do we discern our gifts and how do we get used? And in the conversation was like an open Q&A session and I was there as the teacher. And it was interesting because people say, well, for example, you know, like you, and they says, well, maybe it's easier for some of you who's been in ministry for a long time because, you know, you have your gifts and maybe God called you. In their minds, it was almost God is calling the best, you know, people who have more gifted. And I said, well, that's not That's not what the Bible says. It's 1 Corinthians. It's the opposite. And I gave them some example, like one thing that I use as an example for me, because I think it's really like, remember, I don't remember a lot from my childhood with my dad, but there's one thing I do remember. At some point we had to renovate the kitchen, you know, and then what do kids, what do boys do when they did that work in the house? Well, you hang out. You know, you grab a hammer, you do things, you know, it's so, and then you're really, you're 5, 6, 7 year olds and you really think you're helpful, you know, and here I am, you know, working around doing things. And my dad could have finished the kitchen in a week, and it maybe took him 2 weeks because I was in the way of the whole time. And instead of helping, I actually added holes in the wall because I used the hammer and it's that, you know, you're heading in the wall and you make a hole. Now he has to repair it. And I think for me, this is me in ministry. If God wanted the church to be perfect, then he wouldn't use me. But he decided to call us into ministry. And we're as capable as me when I was 5 or 6 year old trying to help my dad fix the kitchen. I know nothing about the kitchen. I'm not helping at all. But I do spend time with him. And for the week or whatever time remaining that I was able to hang out, I still remember it, you know, 40 plus years later. And I think sometimes we have this high view of ministry, thinking that God is calling the best. You know, he's calling people who need to be there.
Yeah.
So in a way, when I'm saying all this for a very simple point, is that I don't consider the ministry I'm doing because God called me because I'm special. God placed me in a ministry because I needed this ministry to know him. And that's my vision.
Yeah.
My vision is not to have numbers line up, not to have these metrics of success, but understanding that God, in his great wisdom, he decided to use me in a place so I could learn from him. So in the meantime, we are used. Yes, yeah. Are we blessing people? Of course we are. But despite ourselves, it's because we're following a vision, which is knowing him, and knowing him puts us in the place where we obey him. In obedience, we might, as a byproduct, bless the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm there because I'm the best guy for the job.
Yeah.
I think I'm there because anywhere else, I wouldn't be able to know him the way I know him now.
Wow.
And I think it's a way of seeing ministry that puts the vision into the right place. The vision is him, not the stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's important for me when I think to be reminded that, you know.
Yeah. I think we're doing something. I think we're doing a good service for those people who are watching. This is the Grace Hour podcast. If you just happened upon us, no one's really commented today, but we trust that you're listening and watching us, and we're having some things to say. Philippe Siragi, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. We're with Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. We do this daily. We have a lot to say about vision this week, and I think it's like what you're saying is like, I think what we're trying to say is like, when you say that word, it can get so big and all-encompassing and all-consuming that it almost paralyzes you.
Yes.
You don't even move forward.
Yes.
And you're saying that, like, what was that about with your family, you know, you pounding the walls and everything? It was love. It was, you were part of the family. Mm-hmm. It's like, and we are part of the family of God. It's like, I don't have a part to play. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
You are a member in particular of the body of Christ. Maybe you don't, it hasn't been really shown to you, or you really haven't stumbled upon. And I think a lot of things we start to do, we stumble into. It's like, you know, there are some people who know exactly what they want to be and they get there. And once they get there, sometimes they're really dissatisfied because it's not like fulfilling. But when you're in the body of Christ and you have like a, you know, like your family, that family time was invaluable to you.
Yeah.
Probably meant a lot to you and your father to be together.
Yes.
Probably meant a lot for to have you in there. Mm-hmm. He may have yelled at you a lot, but it's like, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? Right? Why are you hammering that nail that way? It's like, but it is, you are a part of that family.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking like, we can't, you know, with anything, like we can't like say, take the vision and elevate it above the true purpose of God, which is to create his kingdom on earth and create the renewal and restoration that comes from redemption. Mm-hmm. And part of that is love in the body of Christ.
Yes.
You are a member in particular. If you are a part of Jesus, you are a part of his body and you are a part of his body, flesh and bones. And you should, the thing that I'm learning as I get older is to appreciate everything. Like there are, like you said, there's a lot of people who are so busy and we don't realize how they get things done. But really I've learned that the busiest people people who can manage themselves usually get more done than people who are like looking for something to do. Yes. So get moving, doing that. But yeah. also the other thing is the other side of it, right? We haven't talked about this at all, but it is like you said, busyness can consume people and it becomes mm-hmm. an identity mm-hmm. for them. And there's going to be an identity crisis mm-hmm. at one point because you can't do it all for everyone. You're going to fall apart. And even God rested on the seventh day. So we need to talk about like being at rest and letting God get, you're the beloved of God, letting him giving you sleep, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, young men see the vision and the old men dream dreams.
Yes.
I'm an older man. I'm starting to dream dreams and not trying to accomplish so much. But it is like, you know, maybe we should talk about that is like, do you have moments of rest? It could be that you're so busy trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing that you haven't really had the kind of rest that you have. And I'm not talking about getting down to the beach or anything. And maybe it is with a few young people went to the beach yesterday. Yeah. God bless them. I love the beach. I love to look at the ocean. It does something to me. Mm-hmm. But like having rest, love and rest in the body of Christ and how that can open your eyes to what you're really supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's a big subject. I'm going to tell you.
Sorry.
It's a great
deconstruct
one.
It a little bit.
Yeah,
come on.
No, because I think it's, I mean, the goal, you know, the goal of what we do in Grace Hour is really to go down to the real things, you know, like in the practical way, we want to help people think things through. So I see a comment about Proverbs 29. I think there's a whole show on Friday on that. So we're going to skip that, but that's a very good verse. But the idea really is I had this conversation with someone saying, well, you know, the Bible, you know, he's very adamant about in the book of Proverbs about the sluggard, you know, the lazy people. I said, yeah, well, there's a difference between understanding the Bible encouraging us not to be lazy and taking the other sense, meaning that it means we have to be busy all the time. Mm-hmm. The warning is not about being, you should be busy. The warning is about not being lazy. That's very different because not being lazy does not mean I have to be busy. Not being lazy means I have to do God's will. I have to do what I get done. God's will and also the practical things. You know, things have to be done in the house, whatever. You know, the mowing the lawn season has started. We have to do that. No, you don't have to do that.
I don't have to do that anymore.
But I have to
do it. I'm very happy about that.
I'm sure you are.
Sorry. Very good. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But the point is, I think, as I said earlier, I think we make a mistake when we think a busyness equates spirituality. It does not. You know, if you don't have, because I think it's also, I see that with myself when I was younger, and I'm sure it was the same with you. I think when you're young, we take our youth and energy and we put it in ministry. But do we really, really do it out of the, don't we do it sometimes out of the strength of the flesh?
Yeah, duty.
Yes. And so we have to ask ourselves questions. Am I doing God's will or am I brought to my own strength in the flesh? Because when you get older, you don't do as much. Like I realized I talked to Pastor Charlotte the other day quickly and I said something. It's interesting. I realized I don't have the same capacity to multitask as I used to. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like, okay, well, I'm thinking, am I losing my mind? No, you're just getting older. You're not capable of managing as many things as you should. So when I slow down, you know, I'm doing things, but I realize how important it is for me to find time where I actually have rest. Okay, slow down. You know, it was the case yesterday, Memorial Day. What did we do? Francois, nothing. We just, the two of us at the house, and we just stayed the day. We had a few things to do, but that was it. We just hang out, went for a walk, have good conversations, you know, looking at things. And I think these were time where I come back today and I'm refreshed, you know, and I'm ready to serve and I'm ready to help. I'm ready to answer the questions that people may have, whatever God leads us to do. But I think not having, you know, in a way, yeah, it's not resting does not help.
No,
it doesn't help.
And I think, you know, God gave the example when he took that time to rest, to look at as if he needed to, but he looked at everything and he saw it. It's good. It's good. It's good. You know, the rest that he determined for himself was not necessary, but it was something that he would like us to embrace, you know, I think, you know, and not be so, you know, goal, not, you know, not look, you know, finish, got to get it done, busy, you know, there's a famous, you know, famous line about Alexander Hamilton saying that he was, you know, he wrote, huge amount of things. Like he didn't know, you know, of course his life ended like tragically in like a strange duel with Aaron Burr. That's a piece of history, but he was always writing. Like he didn't know how much time he had left. So he was just like prolific and just writing all the busy. And what did he miss in life? Like, how much activity can you do? You know, multitasking is like, that's a kind of an interesting thing. It's like, how many things can be you doing at one time and be effective at all of them? And I think that maybe would be something that, you could ask God, what are you best at? What are you equipped for? What are your gifts? I think that's all a part of it. Like when you bring it to the Lord, some people have great gifts in music and that, other people do not. You can't give yourself, even with auto-tune today, there's something that I heard is that the microphones like actually help people singing now and they help them match the notes. Really? I mean, that happens now? I didn't realize that,
I could be a singer now.
I have albums from the 1950s that were, like the singer is sitting in like a huge studio with the whole orchestra around him and he's elevated singing into the thing and it's like he has to nail it, and he they take the best one. It's like I'm like thinking, wow, they have auto-tune, people like adjusting. But I think it's what am I saying? You look at who you are, what you've been equipped with, physically, genetically. I can't have a vision to be an offensive lineman in the National Football League. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to be 6'8 and 327 pounds. It's not going to happen. But those are all part of the things like God will show you. Take a bit of rest, think with God, and follow the word of God. See where it takes you.
Yes. What we're saying this morning is very simple. Where do we get our vision from? We get our vision from the word of God and walking in obedience. And because we're human and God put it this way, it's okay to have goals. We said it earlier, but those goals cannot be the metrics by which we measure the success of our ministry. Yeah. That would be the mistake of having a vision with what we would call a big vision. You know, we always fall into the trap of thinking that success will actually, and I'm thinking about, as an example, I was giving that the other day talking, there's only one prophet in the whole Bible who's been successful in his ministry. And that's the one who didn't want to do it was Jonah. Because Jonah is the only one that got everybody to repent.
That's right.
Nobody else did.
Yeah.
Isaiah didn't do it. Jeremiah didn't do it. Micah, Habakkuk, none of those guys were able to manage any results, any tangible results in that. Jonah goes there, he doesn't want to do it, and he gets it done. So I think it's a big message for us realizing, it's like we this is us. So let's not measure success based on how many this or how many that. Is like, did I obey the will of God? And in Hebrew 13:7, if I'm a leader, do people look at me and follow my faith? If they do, I'm a leader. If I'm a parent and my children follow my faith, I'm a leader. And in that way, I'm doing God's will. So my vision is really to get to know him and then getting him known. That's my vision.
Wow.
That should be my vision. And everything else is whatever God, I see things, I put my hands on them, I do them with all my heart. But that's it, And that should be my vision, I think.
Yeah. So I think I hope we've helped you. I hope we haven't confused you in any way. But
then we can go to God about it.
Yeah, you can go to God about it. I think one of the big questions, is like, how do we know a vision is from God? I think if it lines up with scripture, that's where you start. The Holy Spirit. I could tell you like something really subjective, like if you have peace about it, but sometimes peace is false peace. Mm-hmm. I'm saying like if you have something that you want to do and it lines up with the word of God, if it builds up the body of Christ, if it's, if it's something that, that is serving your neighbor or serving the body of Christ. All of those things are, you could say that, I got a vision for this and how do I know it's from God? Well, there's a checklist for you, but the Holy Spirit is very faithful. The Holy Spirit is very faithful and can, comfort you, lead you, guide you into all truth. Yeah. So, any last words, Philippe?
Well, I just see Imene has a comment. You should do a series about this. This is exactly what the week is about.
That's right. Right? All week. Yes.
Yesterday was about it. Today, and then the next 3 days will be about the vision.
That's
so,
right. Yeah, and that's what I was trying to say. I was looking on the list for the coming week. I was want to make sure if there isn't, like, how does Sabbath fit into and rest fit into vision? And it's not on there. So so I think that's good that we introduced that. Yes. But yeah, well,
that's it.
Hey, yeah, so if you missed yesterday and you missed any of today's, you could go to gracehour.org and find the archived version of this podcast. Also, it's available to YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and more. So we have a show coming up tomorrow. We'll talk more about what it means to have a vision and what kind of vision. Like we said on Friday, that the vision about when the people don't have vision, when there is no vision, the people perish. That'll be addressed. So stick with us. Stick with us. Yes. And be a part of the Grace Hour podcast. So for Philippe Siragi, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Jehir Vandiver has been at the board today. We thank God for him.
Yes.
Keeping us online and keeping the mics up and running. Everyone,
Amen.
Have a great Tuesday. God bless.
Bye.